Our scripture reading today is taken from Acts chapter 2, and we want to read some verses at the end of this chapter, and we'll commence our reading at verse 41. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. We'll end our reading there. We know the Lord will bless again the public reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. For a few moments at the end of our service today, I want to preach on the subject, the importance of doctrine in the church. And I want to base my remarks on verse 42 of Acts chapter 2. It says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers." And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. With God's word open before us, let's bow in prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider God's truth today. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the reading of thy precious word. And we do pray, Lord, now as we turn to the sacred page to preach thy truth, that you would fill us, Lord, with thy gracious Holy Spirit. We thank thee, Lord, for each one that's gathered in God's house today. And, O God, we just pray that you'll come and have a word in season for all of our hearts. We thank thee, Lord, and we praise thee for this tremendous chapter in the Bible. We thank thee, Lord, for these 3,000 souls that were saved on the day of Pentecost. And, O God, we long that many in these days in which we live would come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. O God, we recognize this is God's work. And, O God, we pray, therefore, that you would come and work in hearts. We pray, Lord, that you would be pleased, Lord, now to give us a word in season. And, O God, we pray that each one, Lord, here this afternoon would leave God's house saying it was good to be here, for it was here where we met afresh with the Lord. Close out the world, Lord, how the devil, Lord, would bring in other things into our minds. Oh God, we pray you'll cover our minds and our hearts and lives in the precious blood of the Lamb. And oh God, help us, Lord, to concentrate on thy word. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. So far in Acts chapter 2, we have considered the biblical gift of tongues and the message of the apostles. Just before we come to our subject today, let me remind you again of what is happening in this chapter, Acts chapter 2. Of course, it is the day of Pentecost. The disciples had been waiting in prayer in the upper room for the coming of the Holy Ghost. The Savior, before he had ascended back up to heaven, had promised that the Comforter would be coming. And of course, that's exactly what happened. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, the power of God fell upon the disciples, and God gave them the gift of languages, with the result that the disciples were able to preach the gospel to the people who had gathered in Jerusalem. You see, with this gift, the disciples were able to preach the gospel to all that were gathered at Jerusalem from all over the known world at that time. And of course, the result of this day of Pentecost was that 3,000 souls were saved. I want you to stop just for a moment and realize what has happened here. 3,000 people in one day has got saved. They are now in Christ and have been adopted into the family and into the fold of God. At the beginning of that day, there was only 120 Christians in Jerusalem. Acts 1 verse 15 tells us that. But at the end of that day, there was 3,120 Christians in Jerusalem. 3,000 of which virtually knew nothing about Christianity, apart from a few basic facts about God's salvation. Therefore, the apostles at that point had a great task before them. And of course, that great task was to instruct these new converts in the things of God. Thus we read in verse 42, look at it again, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. In other words, the apostles taught them everything that Jesus had taught them. The apostles taught them doctrine. After these 3,000 got saved, they were instructed in the Word of God, in the doctrines that were contained in the Word of God. Today, as I have announced, I want to draw your attention to the importance of doctrine in the church. You know, many Christians today say that as long as you're saved, then it doesn't really matter about doctrine. But child of God, anyone who says that, not only are they showing their total ignorance to Bible knowledge, but they're permitting the devil to use them in a very sinister way, because the most important thing in the church is doctrine. And anyone who says that doctrine is not important is undermining the very foundation of the church, the very foundation of Christianity. What is doctrine? Well, doctrine is what we believe. The word doctrine in Acts 2 verse 42 literally means teaching. And of course, that is what doctrine is. The teaching that is contained in God's truth. As I've said, doctrine is what we believe. True doctrine is what the Bible teaches. Let me give you some examples very quickly. Jesus Christ is coming again. That is a doctrine. The doctrine of the second coming of Christ. Also, Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. That's a doctrine. The doctrine of the resurrection of Christ. Then we speak about the doctrine of hell, the doctrine of heaven, the doctrine of justification by faith, the doctrine of sanctification, and so we could go on. Doctrine is what the Bible teaches. Therefore, when Acts 2 verse 42 says that these 3,000 converts continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, it means that they were taught day by day the great truths of the Scriptures. These new converts wanted to know more about the truth of God's Word. They were continually under the instruction of God's Word. They wanted to know the doctrines of the Bible. Therefore, with this in mind, let us consider a number of things about doctrine and the importance of doctrine. And here's a message for each and every one of us, not only for the saints of God, but also for those of you who are here today and you're not saved. It's so important that we understand what the Bible teaches and what the Bible says. And I would encourage you, if you have never read the Bible right through, that you begin today. Begin to read your Bible. Read your Bible to your children. Read your Bible week by week and endeavor to learn the doctrines that are contained in the Word of God. What do we learn here about doctrine? Why is doctrine so important? Well, first of all, I want you to notice that biblical doctrine is inspired by God. It goes without saying that the great truths of the Bible are the inspired doctrines of God. And as we all know, Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Turn over just for a moment to 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's a familiar text, I'm sure, to most. But maybe it's not familiar to you. But here we have Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he comes to write to young Timothy, who's the minister of the church at Ephesus. And this is what Paul says to Timothy. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. In other words, all Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why is doctrine important? Because it is the inspired word of God. When Sergius Paulus was saved in Acts chapter 13, it says in that chapter that he believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. And in John 7 verse 16, the Lord Jesus Christ said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. Therefore, it is clear to see from the Scriptures that we today are not to teach our own doctrine, but it is our responsibility to teach the inspired doctrines of God, which are contained in the Bible, in the Word of God. That's why the Bible is so precious. And that's why we should love it and cherish it. Because every time we lift the Bible, we're not lifting an ordinary book, but we're lifting the precious Word of God. That Word is inspired. That Word is inerrant. That Word is incorruptible. And praise God, that Word teaches us the doctrines that God would have us to know. When Paul was writing to Timothy, he taught him the importance of knowing and believing these inspired doctrines in the Bible. Timothy was to study doctrine himself. And of course, he was also to preach doctrine. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4 for a moment. And take a look there at verse 13. And again, we have Paul here, and he's writing to Timothy. And look what he says. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Underline it. And in so doing, others would profit from his knowledge. Paul here says to the young minister that he has to study the doctrines, the teaching of the Bible, so that he can impart that knowledge to others. Look at verse 16 of 1 Timothy chapter 4. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, or the teaching contained in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. It is vital that the gospel minister studies doctrine and preaches doctrine. In other words, that the preacher studies what the Bible says and preaches what the Bible says. My friend, if men and women are ever going to be saved, they must know the truth of God. And I would say to you today, those of you who are not saved in this meeting, if you're ever going to get to heaven, ever going to have your sins forgiven, ever going to have the knowledge of everlasting life, you need to read the Bible and you need to study the doctrines of the Bible, the doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of justification, the doctrine of redemption. You must study the doctrine of the cross and consider how the Lord Jesus upon that middle tree laid down his life for you, died for your sins. You need to study the doctrine of repentance. You need to study the doctrine of faith. You need to realize that if you're ever going to be saved, that you must come as a sinner to Jesus and by faith trust him as your own and personal redeemer. I cannot preach doctrine until I study doctrine, until I know what God says in his word. And that's why it is imperative in these days for the gospel preacher to study doctrine and to preach doctrine. Look with me there at 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. Here's what the apostle said to the young minister. He said this, study to show thyself approved unto God. Study what?
Study the Bible. Study the doctrines that are contained in the Bible. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, what Paul is saying to Timothy here is this. Timothy, you've got to study the doctrines that are in the Bible. You've got to study the teaching of Scripture so that you can explain that doctrine, that teaching, and preach it. Take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 there, and look at verses 1 to 4. Underline these words for a moment. Again, Paul is speaking to the young minister, and he comes to speak again about doctrine and the importance of doctrine to reveal unto Timothy that the doctrine in the Bible is inspired. Look what it says in verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, underline those words, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, or from the doctrine, from the teaching, and shall be turned unto fables. So important for us that we know what the Bible teaches. So important for us that we understand what the Word of God declares. Oh, knowing the truths of the Bible is so important because the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Knowing the doctrines of the Bible, so important because the doctrines are the inspired Word of the living God. Tell me, friend, do you know your Bible? Do you read your Bible? Do you cherish your Bible? Or is your Bible a forgotten book in your home? Is it on the shelf gathering dust? Oh, how important it is that we read the Scriptures of truth, that we read the precious Word of God. My friend, it has the answer for all of our problems, and especially our spiritual problems, our spiritual needs. The Bible tells us clearly that we're sinners on our way to a lost eternity. But thank God, when we read the Word of God, the Bible also reveals unto us the remedy for our sin and the remedy for our iniquity, and that is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And if we come and put our faith in Him alone for our salvation, then we will be redeemed for all eternity. The importance of doctrine. It's important because we're dealing with the inspired Word of God. But there's something else I want you to notice about doctrine. Turn over again to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want you to notice, secondly, the doctrine of the Bible must be defended. Why must we defend Bible doctrine, or Bible truth, or Bible teaching? Well, the answer is simple: because of false doctrine. The devil will always have a counterfeit. And Paul warned of this in his day. Look what Paul says in 1 Timothy 4 verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Underline that little phrase, doctrines of devils. That little phrase is drawing our attention to false doctrine. Men and women, not only is there true doctrine, biblical doctrine, sound doctrine, but there's also false doctrine. And false doctrine comes from hell. False doctrine is the counterfeit of the devil. And the reason why the devil has counterfeit doctrine is in order to deceive men. That's the purpose of false doctrine. And the sad reality is that many in this world today, even many who are sitting in pews in churches, they're listening to false doctrine. They have been taught false doctrine. And because they have been taught false doctrine, they're deceived.
And the devil has deceived them. You see, down through the history of the church, there have always been those like the Church of Rome who have preached false doctrine. In other words, they have taught things contrary to the pure teaching of the Word of God. Therefore, in every generation, the true Church of Christ has had to defend the doctrines of God's Word, especially the doctrines of grace. Indeed, in the Bible, you and I are commanded, we are commanded to defend the pure teaching of God's precious Word. Look again at 2 Timothy 1. Look at verse 13. Again, Paul, he's speaking, as you know, to Timothy, and he has encouraged Timothy, exhorted Timothy to be sound in the faith, to study sound doctrine, the doctrines of God's Word, and to preach them so that men and women might hear the gospel and be saved. But then also in this epistle, Paul sounds forth a warning to Timothy. And he says this, hold fast the form of sound words. Underline it. Hold fast the form of sound words. In other words, don't deviate away from the truth, Timothy. Don't deviate away from what the Bible says. My friend, that has always been the warning that has sounded forth from faithful men of God down through the ages. And certainly it is the clear teaching of God's Word to our hearts today that you and I must not deviate away from sound words, sound doctrine, sound truth. Ephesians 5 verse 11 says, again Paul speaking, this is what he says to the saints at Ephesus this time, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. In other words, what Paul is saying there, those that teach false doctrine, those that propagate false doctrine, he says reprove them. In other words, point out to them where they are wrong. You see, there's a battle going on today, and there always has been a battle between truth and error, between biblical doctrine and false doctrine. Turn over to Titus for a moment, Titus chapter 1. Again, Paul is the speaker, but he again emphasizes this truth that we must not only believe the doctrines of the Bible and preach the doctrines of the Bible, but we must defend the doctrines of the Bible against false error. Look at verse 9 of Titus. We read these words, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, underline those words, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Christians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply. Underline it in your Bible. Here, the apostle says, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Therefore, it is clear to see from this passage of Scripture that it is the Christian's responsibility and duty to defend truth and to rebuke error. Of course, the best way to rebuke false doctrine is to preach true doctrine. The best way to defend the doctrines of the Bible is to declare what the Bible teaches. Oh, child of God, men and women, you can see here the importance that the Bible and that the Lord Himself places upon doctrine. Doctrine.
So don't dismiss doctrine. Doctrine is what we believe. Don't be afraid of doctrine. Don't be scared of doctrine. Doctrine is just simply what the Bible teaches. And when you and I know what the Bible teaches, then we can go anywhere and we can speak to anyone, no matter what they believe or think, even if they're bringing before us falsehood, false doctrine. We can defend the truth by saying, well, that's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible teaches. Oh, you can see here that Timothy defended the truth, that Titus defended the truth, that the Apostle Paul defended the truth, that these men of God were not only men who preached the word, but they were also men who stood and defended the word of God. There's something else I want you to notice here. I want you to notice, thirdly, that false doctrine must be avoided. Now, you nearly say that, that goes without saying, but I want to emphasize it here underneath this third point. False doctrine must be avoided by the Christian at every cost. When Paul was writing to the Christians at Ephesus, he exhorted in chapter 4, verse 14, he exhorted them with these words. He says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. It's not an interesting text of Scripture. And remember, when Paul wrote those words, he was writing to a Christian church. He was writing to believers, these believers at Ephesus. And he exhorts them not to be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. You know, some of God's people today, they nearly believe anything. But child of God, we're not to believe anything. We're not to believe anything. We're to believe what the Word of God says and what the Word of God teaches. Throughout the history of the church, there have always been those who have crept into the church unawares to seek to implant within the hearts of God's people false doctrine, their ideas, their philosophy, their ideology. In order for them to have crept into the church, they must have been almost like the genuine article. But Paul describes them as deceivers. Therefore, it is so important for you and I, child of God, to avoid such teachers who would seek to propagate such false doctrines. You see, it's easy for us to distinguish between ourselves and the false cults and the Church of Rome. They're all outside the door. And we defend the truth. We defend the truth when the Church of Rome and the cults would come against us, and rightly so. But Paul here is speaking about those within the body of Christ. Within the body of Christ. And it's important that you note that. How do we avoid false doctrine and false teaching within the church? Well, first of all, by knowing true doctrine, by knowing what the Bible says. There's no substitute for this. That's why, men and women, child of God especially, you and I need to continually read the Bible and study the doctrines of God's Word and know what we believe. Know what we believe. And of course, another way that we can avoid false doctrine and false teaching is by fellowshipping with God's people in the church to which the Lord has called us. Being a good, sound church that preaches the truth and preaches the doctrines of the Word of God, and where the preacher always preaches the text of God's Word. I believe, and this is what I believe the Bible teaches, I believe that once a person is saved, The next vital step for them is to seek God's will for the church that the Lord wants them to have fellowship in. Then to become a communicant member of that church. In other words, put themselves under the discipline of the session of that church, and then to get involved in the work of God in that church. That's what I believe. And that's what I believe that the Bible teaches. Now, you may disagree with that, and you're entitled to disagree with that. But I don't believe it is God's will for any Christian to run around different churches every week, to come to the Free Presbyterian Church in the morning and some other church at night, and some other church during the week. They've got no home spiritually. They're described often as spiritual gypsies. Child of God, if God has saved you, if you're His child, then pray and ask the Lord which church that you should go to. Now, if the Lord called you to some other church outside the Free Presbyterian Church, that's where you should be. But if God has called you here, then this is where you should be on a Sunday morning, on a Sunday night, and on prayer meeting night, and on whatever other services are in the church that God has called you to. That's what I believe that the Word of God teaches. If you want to grow in grace, then I believe that's what God would have you to do. You see, you'll notice here, after these 3,000 souls were saved on the day of Pentecost, look again with me there at Acts 2 and the verse 42. Notice what it says here. And they're just saved. Notice that. It's very important that you note that. You know, here we have 3,000 people who had just become Christians. They had just become followers of Christ. And what are they doing? What's the first thing that they do? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They wanted to learn the Word of God. They wanted to be instructed in the Word of God. And they wanted the apostles to instruct them in the doctrines of the Lord. Oh, I wonder, child of God, are you continuing steadfastly in the doctrines of God's Word, or are you being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine? You know, we're very privileged. We're very privileged, you and I, because God has called us into a church that preaches the gospel, preaches the full counsel of God. Sometimes we take that privilege for granted. And you know, it's so easy to take privileges for granted. I thank God for the day He saved me. But I thank God for the day when He called me into the Free Presbyterian Church. Now, we're not perfect by any means. And the reason why we're not perfect is because you and I are in it. That's why. We are not perfect. We'll not be perfect until we get home to heaven. But what a privilege. Perhaps young people neglect that privilege because many of you have been born into the Free Presbyterian Church. You haven't been called into it. You were born into it. And I would say to our young people, you need to pray. Those of you who were born into it, and I'm speaking to my own as well, you need to pray and ask the Lord where He would have you to be. Is this the church that God wants you to be in? Is this the church that God wants you to serve Him in? My, get that settled in your own heart. Be a Free Presbyterian by conviction, not by convenience. And there are many sitting in the pews of Free Presbyterian churches who are there by convenience. But you need to be here by conviction. Because if you're not here by conviction, you'll never last. It'll only be for a few months or a few years, and then you'll go away somewhere else. You'll go away somewhere else. Oh, that's why we need to know what God wants us to do, where God wants us to be. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. God had saved them, and God had led them, and God was blessing them, and how he was going to use them in the days that lay ahead. Because remember this, not only was it the apostles that the Lord used in the days that lay ahead for the church of Acts and the church in the book of Acts, but he was going to use these 3,000 souls that were saved as well. Many of them were going to go forth and spread the message of the gospel across the known world at that time. They had to know God's will, and they had to be sure that they were in the very center of the will of God. The importance of doctrine. Oh, I pray that the Lord would teach us from his word and give us a desire. Give us a desire to know the Bible, to love the Bible, to preach the Bible, and to go forth defending the Bible. Let us all pray.